Hello, listeners. This is JJ from WXLV's Decent Exposure Radio, a part of Kick-Ass Friday. I'm coming to you from Crocodile Rock Cafe. It is August 4th, and we are in the midst of the All-Stars Tour. Today, I am joined by Steven from I Wrestled the Bear Once.
What up?
All right. So, let's see. Seems you guys are coming to Allentown rather frequently the last year or two. What keeps you coming back? The crisp air, the glorious sights, the rich history of professional wrestling, or the crack, maybe?
It's definitely the Cracktown located directly next to the venue. Although we just saw a sign, they won the most beautified neighborhood in America or some shit last year, which I don't know how that's true. Having been here like once every couple months for the past 3 years, I don't notice it to be less cracky. So, but hey, who am I to judge?
It's like going from an F minus to an F. So it's...
That's about right.
Yeah. Anyway, in case the listeners didn't know, the All-Stars Tour wasn't originally supposed to make a stop here. It was going to be in Reading at the Sovereign Center, a venue much more conducive to host 16 or so bands at once. As glad as we are to have you, what happened?
I don't even know. I was just told that the show got moved, and that was that. That's literally all we had to do with it. We, agents and all that, have the say in where everything goes, so... Not to do with us at all. We just got told it was moved. Like, except it said, you know, Croc Rock outside. And I was like, what the fuck is outside at Croc Rock? Turns out we were thinking the parking lot, but no, they just, I don't know, built a little stage right next to the other stage. It's kind of confusing.
Right.
But here we are, and there's a bunch of people, and I'm sure the set will be fun.
Yeah, it seems to be working out better than I expected.
Yeah.
But alrighty. Is this All-Stars Tour kind of like an all-metal indoor and outdoor warp tour for where everyone plays abbreviated sets and has lots of downtime?
Not so much downtime. Especially warp tour is like even less downtime. You would think you would have more free time, but there's just always gear to move across 6 miles of, you know, dirt. Or, you know, we do a bunch of signings and then, you know, it's always interview stuff, hanging out with people. So you'd be shocked, I guess, at how quickly the days go by.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, it's just basically, I don't know, slightly well, Warped Tour is sort of heavy this year, but it's, I guess, a more metal version and fewer bands. And, well, it's not like, you know, 6 stages at once. It's just normally alternating back and forth. So it's kind of cool, but at the same time, good Lord, it's nonstop music for like 12 hours. So it's, it's a lot. It's a lot of music. I'm sure one day it's great, but doing it for, you know, a month, obviously, it's, can't watch everybody every day, put it that way.
Right. I'll give you some suggestions for other bands you can listen to while you know, are on tour. Let's see. So you have toured with some of these bands before, but have you guys made any new friends on the tour?
Yeah, pretty much everybody. The entire tour has been really laid back. Like, we already knew, like, half the bands or something ridiculous, but... Yeah, we've literally met everyone on the tour, and, I mean, obviously when there's 100-whatever people, it's kind of like a, hey, I recognize you, we did Shots of Tequila last night, what the hell was your name again, sort of thing. But, yeah, definitely lucky in that respect. There's, like, no assholes on the tour, so it's been good. Everybody's just trying to not sweat, stay cool, and stay drunk, so it's good.
Okay. All right, so that actually a good transition here. Besides consuming copious amounts of alcohol, do you have any other pre-show rituals that the authorities should be aware of?
Shotgunning Red Bulls. Let's see, I don't know what else. That's about it. Just got to get them Red Bulls in. Like, running on 0 hours of sleep. It's, yeah, it's a lifesaver. I'm trying to find a way to smoke them, so we'll see. Or inject them intravenously, I guess, would probably be even better. But other than that, I don't know. Video games, if possible, or I normally just hang out at merch almost all day, so I'm just a merch high-fiving people.
Okay. All right. Do you prefer creating new music, writing, recording, etc., or playing live?
I don't know. They're totally different. They're both really fun, and they both, after you're doing one for a while, you miss the other, so that's like, you know, right now we've been on this tour, so I'm like, oh shit, I want to go home and write music, but obviously when we're sitting at home for 2 months... Well, I guess not even that long. We're sitting home for like a month, you know, recording the record. We're like, damn, I want to go out there and play these songs live. So
sure.
It's one of those things where you always want what you can't have, and you're always bitch and complain about something. But, I mean, they're both awesome for totally different reasons. So,
well, you can't have both, and not at the same time, and maybe not when you want them, but, you know. All righty. The band was originally based out of Louisiana, but has since relocated to Los Angeles. Have you been able to really spend an adequate amount of time in the city, or is it just a place you've slept a handful of times and haven't really immersed yourself in the culture yet?
No, I mean, it's awesome. We've definitely hung out a bunch. We have a shit ton of friends, you know, friends' bands, and, like, our label's there, like, half of our, you know, like, companies, the gear we use is there, so just a million people we know, so we've done too much, probably. We haven't been there that often, but yeah, except when we are there, it's like a overabundance of choices of stuff to do as compared to Shreveport, Louisiana, where it was like, well, I guess I'm going to call my friends, go get drunk in the parking lot at Walmart and punch myself in the dick till I pass out. Right? There's like, you know, not a whole lot going on. Right. So, yeah, if I go to the beach, go to another beach, go to yet another beach, then go to the mountains right next door and smoke peyote in the woods or whatever. I don't know. There's, just, you know, there's always something to do.
Right.
Put that way.
All right, your new album, Ruining It for Everybody, builds on the debut, It's All Happening, but it's not really drastically different, but the intense moments are more intense, the melodic moments are more melodic, and the whole thing is just consistently catchier. Did everyone seem to agree right off the bat that you didn't want to reinvent the wheel, but you wanted to improve the wheel?
I mean, that's kind of what we try to do every time. John and I, the guitarists, we've been in bands together for over 10 years now, so we just... we've been doing the same style of stuff since before this band, honestly. So we just keep trying to make it, I guess, better and more cohesive. Yeah, I mean, it's never really a conscious decision. It's just we only really know how to do the whatever style it is that we do. But, yeah, I don't know. We wanted, obviously, to make it more cohesive. That was the main goal. The last record we wrote in, you know, like 10 days or something ridiculous, whereas this one we had a little more time. So... we literally what you said, wanted it to be a little bit catchier but also heavier and just better organized, but still, you know, have all the what the fuck kind of random moments.
Right.
So I think we just, you know, over time we get better at organizing the same crazy stuff.
I think even little stuff like the track sequencing, like on the first album you had an instrumental track toward the very end, and then with this one, this was a little more toward the middle, and it transitioned right into It Is Bro, Isn't It, perfectly.
Yep.
So, you know, it's little stuff like that that adds up to make good
Thank
albums.
You. Yeah.
Thanks to the Alternative Press track by track that you were kind enough to do, that was very informative, and everyone should look that up. Let's see, yeah. It kind of gave the idea that a lot of the tracks utilize guitar riffs and electronic ideas that maybe have been not lying around for a while, but that you've been developing over time. Is it safe to say that you and John have a few more albums worth of riffs and moments tucked away somewhere?
We have all kind of stuff tucked away that we don't even remember half the time. I don't know. We just... it's funny. Like, this record, there's a couple riffs, yeah, like in that All Press thing that... are from like 10 years ago or something ridiculous. And it's funny because people are like, dude, yeah, that one riff, that's so like new and weird. I'm like, yeah, we wrote that in the basement like 10 years ago, but sweet. I mean, if it's still, you know, relevant and interesting to people, then fuck it, that's awesome. Like I said, we've done the same sort of style stuff for as long as I can remember now. So it's just finally starting, I guess, to get a little more popular, which rules. You know, we don't have to cater to anybody. We still do whatever the hell we want. And yet it's slowly, you know, building and building, which is fucking is amazing. Can't ask for anything more. I mean, the new record is mainly all new ideas, but then I'd say probably 10% of it is stuff that we, like, you know, couldn't make work on the last record or stuff we forgot we wrote 10 years ago. You never know. It just kind of, like, weird shit inspires stuff in our head. And we're like, oh, yeah, that riff kind of sounds like it would go with this one from forever ago. So we have no method or I don't even know. We just sit down and stuff pours out, and sometimes we're like, it'll... link something in our brain that reminds us of an old riff we never got to use. So, I don't know. This record, definitely, though, it's funny. We used, you know, some old stuff, but it was way more of a no filler. Like, the last record we wrote so quick, there were plenty of tracks that we weren't too excited about that we'll probably, you know, never, ever play live. Whereas this record, we're like, I would love to play the entire damn album front to back live. So definitely way more proud of this one. It's way more interesting.
Good. Okay. Let's see. Ruining It for Everybody has a fair number of guest vocalists appearing on it. Was that something you knew you were going to do ahead of time, or was that a spontaneous decision?
It just kind of happened. Let's see. Well, we had been talking to Eddie from All Shall Perish about doing something for a while. And then Chris's boyfriend was just at the house, and he had an idea for a part, so we tracked it. He's a singer at Fair to Midland. Let's see. What else? Who else is on the record? Oh, and the gospel vocals on Deodorant Can't Fix Ugly was something we were like tracking that part, and I was just like, we need gospel vocals. And our friend Ryan, who helped like track some of the vocals in Atlanta, he was like, well, I'll make some calls. So we got some Atlanta gospel ladies down there, and that was like the most epic thing we've ever done. I don't know how we'll top that. That's like my favorite part of the record. So
good.
Right. So I don't even know if I answered that question. I guess with us, so it's always a little bit premeditated and then a little bit spontaneous, whatever the hell happens sort of thing. So.
All right, it seems like I Wrestled a Bear once is one of the last bands to really give a damn about making inspired music videos. Do the ideas from them come from the band, or is it mostly from whatever filmmaker you're working with? I'm specifically curious about like Danger in the Manger, See You in Shell, and You Know That Ain't Them Dogs' Real Voices.
It's all us, really. The guys, KOTK Productions, that we just filmed a movie with, actually. Yeah, Wabo, hour-long movie will be out for Halloween, which is, if you watch our videos, it's even more insane than anything else we've ever done. But it's just a combination of us and them, especially like Danger in the Manger. We just had a couple ideas for green screen stuff, and then they just went nuts with it. So it's just a good combination. We bounce ideas well off each other, and then they're, you know, good enough at the video editing part to do them. So, but mainly every, like, the start of everything we do comes from us, you know, in the van or whatever, coming up with some stupid idea, and then we just hit up Justin, and we're like, hey, we got the next video ready. Okay. So.
All right, speaking of See You in Shell, what was it like meeting Mr. Belding, Dennis Haskins?
It's awesome. He's like the nicest guy ever. He was totally not like jaded or shitty about, you know, playing Mr. Belding still. He's super stoked. Like when we went out to eat, you know, people were asking him for autographs all the time. So he was totally cool with it. He was happy. Like he obliged literally every single person that was like, Mr. Belding. You know, it wasn't like, fuck you, I'm Dennis Haskins. He was totally cool. It was awesome. Like I love Saved by the Bell. Like half of our material is like written with Saved by the Bell on the background as, I don't even know, just whatever, comforting background television. So, I don't know, it was pretty surreal, pretty awesome.
All right, actually, you mentioned this a little earlier, but you guys are readying a short horror film slash extended music video or whatever to be released around Halloween. Is that a declaration of the band's love of horror movies, and what can we expect from it besides a body count?
Well, the body count isn't even that high, but there are some pretty gruesome, beautiful deaths in it, and it's just, I mean, it's us acting in it, so it's obviously over the top, cheesy, like B movie style. But it was shot on, you know, like $100,000 red cameras. Like it looks insane. It doesn't look like a music video. It looks like a movie, if that makes sense, I guess. You know, and the camera's like on the tracks, like dollying over everything. It was pretty insane. It was pretty wild. They're like, all right, we're going to shoot a scene in the van. And we just get in the van and we're like, all right, where's the fucking Sony camcorder? And they're like, no, we need 3 hours to light the van. You know, they spend putting up all these tents around it and lights and ridiculous shit. So it's definitely a major undertaking. And we've only seen a couple clips because they're editing it right now, and it's wild. Our band sucks, but the movie's going to be pretty amazing. And yes, it's just tribute to us loving, you know, gory horror stuff and cheesy acting.
All right, that goes into this next one. Can you give the listeners a suggestion for a horror movie that is awesome, but maybe a lot of people haven't seen?
I'm so surprised when people haven't seen Dead Alive. So if you haven't seen Dead Alive, Peter Jackson, yeah, does like Lord of the Rings and a bunch of other major movies now, got his start doing really fucked up B-horror movies. So Bad Taste, also another old Peter Jackson one, or Dead Alive. I'd say like Evil Dead and all that, but everyone's seen those. The original, if you didn't know, Nightmare on Elm Street was a fucking movie originally made, you know, 25 years ago, whatever. Watch the original. I don't know, there's a million. I could go on forever. It's terrible.
No, it's not.
But
terrible.
Mainly the one movie that everyone on Earth needs to see if they haven't is Dead Alive.
At least the scene with the lawnmower in the crowded living room of zombies.
Yeah, you get to see a guy mow down a room full of zombies with a lawnmower, so it's, yeah. And a priest kick people's heads off, stuff like that. It's a good movie. Quality film.
I always suggest stuff like good Dario Argento,
like
Deep Red and all that, and even earlier Guillermo del Toro, like The Devil's Backbone.
Dude, I love all Guillermo del Toro stuff, even like the newer Nun.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's still interesting and weird. So.
Now that your existence has been acknowledged by Hollywood heavyweights such as Gary Busey and Kevin Bacon, who's next on the list? And has Corey Feldman caught up with you yet for your EP?
No, we got to meet Corey Feldman and explain to him that song title doesn't mean anything about anything, much less the mass genocide of many Corey Feldmans.
Right.
I don't even know. We're pretty much done. Like, we, you know, heard that radio interview where Kevin Bacon was like, oh, yeah, I've seen their video. It's great. And then, you know, we've talked to Gary Busey now, so I don't, we're done. I don't know what else we need to do. We should probably just break up, call it a day.
No,
that's the list. We're done. We've met everybody.
Set the goals low, and then you'll meet them, and then that's it. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, talking to Gary Busey on the phone, that's a pretty...
But it is lofty.
He's an interesting fucking fellow. He's... I mean, we're crazy, so when I say he's crazy, I don't mean it in a bad way, but he's a fucking weirdo, and I never imagined we get to talk to him, so that was pretty interesting. We named our band after him, and I saw an interview he did, like Entertainment Weekly. He had my guitar pick, which has his face on it, taped to his fucking forehead, so that's pretty wild. I don't know what else we could do. That's about as big as an accomplishment as you could hope to have.
Okay. All right, now you have a clothing line called Let's Make Mistakes, where proceeds go to VH1's Save the Music organization. How did you go from having the idea to making it a reality?
I've just been thinking about it for a while, and finally when we were off tour, or we did the new record, and then we're off tour for a minute, I just got everything going, and had finally saved up a little bit of money, because it obviously, it, you know, start some shit like that costs money, so got to spend money to make money or whatever. And it's just ideas that I've wanted to do that, I mean, I do most of the Iwabo merch too. So it's just mainly stuff I couldn't do for that, and then ideas that I want to do separately, I guess, that don't make any sense to Iwabo stuff. And then, you know, just donating money to something that's, I think, I mean, it's hard to pick somebody to donate money to nowadays. There's so much fucked up, terrible stuff. But, you know, I mean, if it wasn't for me getting support from my folks to do music, I wouldn't be here, quote-unquote, living the dream. And, I mean, there's plenty of music programs that you see every fucking day. It's like, well, football team needs new helmets, so we're getting rid of the goddamn music department. Sure. So, I mean, it's awesome. They literally help save or keep music programs, or startup, I mean, rather, save or startup programs everywhere. And, I mean, it's literally proven that doing music from a young age makes you more intelligent, no matter whether you go on to do music or not. But... I mean, it's just cool to think that if there's some kid out there that desperately wants to, like, get into playing whatever, violin, that can't afford that, you know, whatever. Not like I'm making $1 million to donate to them, but whatever small amount it is, that helps, you know, one person get an instrument, then fuck yeah, it's, I don't know, at least doing something decent with my life, as opposed to drinking every day and sleeping in a van.
You can do both, maybe, if you play your cards right.
That's the idea. Well, I'll continue being a degenerate, sleeping in a van, not showering for weeks on end, but, you know, hopefully it'll help a couple people.
Good. Now, where can people go to actually see the designs and buy the stuff?
You can just do letsmakemistakes.com. It goes to the store and all that. And then I still run the Facebook and Twitter and all that, so hit me up.
All right. Let's see. I think we have one more. Oh, okay. Since you co-produced, engineered, and mixed Ruining It for Everybody, do you think at some point you'll work on other bands' albums a lot more?
Yeah, I mean, if we ever have time, I would love to. I mean, I love that part of it, you know, like building on ideas and layering them up and creating music. That's like my favorite thing on earth. So, I mean, we tour so much, you know, it's not really possible. But whenever we have a break, I'd love to. I'm trying to, you know, figure we have a little bit of time off after this. So if I can figure something out, I'll do it. But, you know, Iwabo is obviously the priority. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm already, I think, about to mix a record, and then I'm mastering, like, two albums when we get home, so it's something, it's fun, but, yeah, hopefully, I don't know, like I said, if we have time off, I would love to get something going, but, you know, since this is, like, the first thing I've done legitimately, I have to wait for that, you know, to spread around, let people hear it, so, I don't know, I mean, I love it, I love music, so I'm always, I would love to do it. I've recorded in the past, you know, before we toured full-time, like, everything from rap to death metal, so I mean, I'm down for anything as long as it's good music.
Good. All right. So here's the generic wrap-up question. What do you guys have to look forward to for the rest of 2011 after this tour ends?
We can't say any of it yet, so, but more U.S., Europe, some other countries we've never been to that we're going to for the first time, so, well, that'll be into the start of 2012, you know, if the world doesn't end or what the fuck ever.
It's the end of the year anyway.
Oh, okay, well, we're good then. Yeah, I don't know, just more tour, and then the movie, obviously, coming out for Halloween, we're pretty, we're trying to do screenings of that, just to try to, like, hang out with people and watch it and be ridiculous assholes, so. bunch of stuff, I guess. But yeah, sadly, we can't talk about the tours yet.
That's fine.
Hooray, politics, or whatever the hell.
Fair enough. All right. That's it as far as the questions, but before I sign off, I did want to make sure to mention to thank you to have a song called Karate Nipples, because before that, I, of course, never had a reason to say nipples on the air before, and now I do, so.
You are.
Bucket list?
check that one off. Check that off the nipple list.
All right. Thank you to Steven from I Wrestled a Bear Once for taking the time to talk with me. Their new album, Ruining It for Everybody, is in stores and on iTunes now. So if you like music that will make you bleed from your anus, check it out. This is JJ from Decent Exposure Radio signing out.